Hello, I'm Sandy Toksvig and I'm back in the stationery cupboard for the very last news quiz extra of this series. Yes, next week the Now Show extra returns. In fact, if I open the door just a little, you should be able to hear everybody getting the office ready for Punt and Dennis.
No, red M&Ms. He only eats the red M&Ms.
So, anyway, quell your swelling tears, dry your weeping eyes and contain your sobbing, if you could, until the end of the show. Coming up on today's programme, we'll be talking to some of our listeners. We're also catching up with Rory Bremner, or possibly it might be Tony Blair. Always difficult to tell. But first, it's time to listen to some of the material that we cut from this week's show. Because here on Radio 4 Extra, we like to give you the full-fat, gold-top experience, rather than, well, the semi-skimmed Radio 4 version. Don't know what they have on Radio 3. Soya, probably. Jeremy, who doesn't care whether celebrities are seen or heard?
Kids under the age of 8 are not impressed by celebrity.
Yeah.
And don't need role models. Because they said, well, kids obviously don't need role models because they don't know what a role model is. And you think that doesn't mean they don't need role models, it just means they aren't familiar with the expression. They might know what peristalsis means, but they still need the lavatory.
Well, they said that children aged 8 or younger are still finding their feet in the world. That is merely, I think, a statement about obesity levels in this country, but... they're more likely to find their role models in their classmates, apparently. So, I don't know, Wayne Rooney earns thousands of pounds a week, but Jimmy in 4B can fit 8 marbles in his mouth. I'd imagine that. I'm showing my age talking about marbles. I imagine marbles are in 3D nowadays or something.
I mean, it's interesting, the whole football thing, because, you know, when I was young, you looked up to footballers. The mistake they made is there's all this money in football. In the old days, they were paid in segments of orange.
Mm. So who are the nation's role models? Who do we think? Pippa Middleton, Jesus, I run out.
Cheryl Cole.
Cheryl, I love Cheryl.
It's a terrible thing about being a Geordie. You think, after all that, you think, there she goes, she's won a pop competition, she's got the perfect figure, the perfect styling, the perfect makeup, and then suddenly, there she is, unemployed. You can take the girl out of Newcastle.
She'd be great at the job centre, though, wouldn't it? When it was her turn. Oh, love, the way that you're handling all of those UB40 cords, I think it's very impressive, and I think you've been on a journey and you're going to do very well. Just sign here, love.
New research shows that young children are not influenced by celebrity role models, but are more likely to be influenced by friends, family and teachers. According to education experts at Derby University... Oh, I don't care. I really am sick of research. People shouldn't go to university. I'm sick to death of research shows that women are more likely to use handbags. And I'm bored with this whole business.
What I want to know is, what is the point in having a handbag? You know, it's all that kerfuffle, because you get to the cash point machine, you think, oh, no, she hasn't got pockets, she's a woman, oh, it's going to take forever, isn't it? I'll get the money out and check it, count it all, then fold it up and then put it in her purse with the card in the purse, then put it in the side pocket of the bag, zip it up, then close the bag, just to leave the bag on the roof of the car.
Excuse me. So you would be the fellow who goes with the car keys and goes, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with these car keys. Can I put them in your bag?
No, Sandy, I think you'll find you put them in the ignition.
This is like listening to an old news quiz from 1941. Well, I think this refers to the rather peculiar way in which women go about their business.
Yes, it's queer folk who are now allowed to vote, thanks to the efforts of Mrs. Pankhurst. Yes, but what will they vote for? Probably more makeup, we shouldn't wonder. Oh, this one's having a fainting fit. Probably spent too much time sitting on a horse sideways.
It's like tuning into Woman's Hour. Now, 2 points to Jeremy. Mark, why didn't prehistoric women cave in to staying at home?
Well, somewhere or other, some paleontologist or something or other, or people who sort of dig around with cavemen things. Just like Brian Cox,
yeah,
isn't it?
Let's not get too technical here.
Some caves were really, really deep. Even further down than your garden. And it was ever such a long time ago, further back than Wednesday. And that's the answer.
Yeah, well, just a bit more detail, a tiny fraction of detail.
It was that women, it seems, were more likely to be the people who did the work and the men
sat at home.
Sat around.
No, it's not that. It's not that. Women, men stayed living in the same place, whereas women went further afield.
And how do know this? What have they based this on?
Women like shopping.
Didn't they? They excavate a cave, and all they found was pizza boxes and cans of beer.
It was the teeth. 2 million-year-old teeth have shown them that women roamed the landscape. I mean, if they discover my teeth in 2 million years' time, all they'll know is I liked red wine. I don't know how they.
They might have just tried to confuse future generations by running around the countryside scattering teeth. You can have lots of fun with archaeologists if you just leave. Like, I mean, probably our ancestors didn't look like Australopithecus at all. They were probably quite handsome. It's just that they got the ugliest bloke in the village. When he died, they left his skull really prominently so that people would find him and think that he was the missing link or something.
I always enjoyed the remark by Agatha Christie, who was married to an archaeologist, and she said, "It's marvellous. The older I get, the more interested he is in me." Point, while we're speaking of prehistoric attitudes, which new venue has got feminists rabbiting on? Feminists?
Oh, they're reopening the Playboy Club. I didn't know it had closed down. Oh, yes. Yeah. But the Playboy Club is being reopened in the spirit of postmodern irony. And it's all going to be great in there, and they'll practice female circumcision, and they'll burn witches there, and it's all going to be very ironic and almost kind of feminist and empowering in a way.
I think it's shocking. I think it's really shocking. Hugh Hefner, who is the man behind Playboy, is 85. And last year he married his fourth wife. He probably can't remember where he left the other three. I mean, he says, "Women are like bunnies because they are shy creatures who will sniff you and then run away." No, Hef, that is your nurse checking to see if you've soiled yourself. This week's interview is with Rory Bremner, a master of political satire and famous for his ability to ape almost any voice, he told me to tell you. You probably hear him on the quiz more than you think. Andy Hamilton hasn't actually done a show since 2002. Before the recording, I lured him into an empty dressing room. Do you remember the very first time you ever did the news quiz?
I did it. Oh, it was way back in the Barry Took era.
Oh my goodness, that is a long time ago.
Yeah, very long time. It was in that. It was in the Paris.
Which I loved.
Do you remember the Paris?
Well, for the listeners who don't know what that was, it was the most wonderful theatre, wasn't it?
It was. It was in the sort of basement at the bottom of the Haymarket, or Lower Regent Street, wasn't it?
It was Lower Regent Street.
And there was Barry Took, who's very, very tall. And I went there with John Langdon, who you all know very well. He's a writer and he's written together with me for many, many years. And somebody came in and they looked at Barry Took and they said, "I never realised Barry Took was so tall." And John, being a writer without a filter, very quickly said, "That's because he's standing on Marty Feldman's reputation."
That's very good.
And John used to do the chairman's script, and when it went to Simon Hoggart, Simon used to take great pleasure in scratching John's jokes out of the chairman's script, and John had to just plead with him to do it with a slightly less noisy pencil. But I remember doing them with Alan Corrin, who always had a question about a bird or a dog. And he would just go off on it. Yes, Barry, this is one about a parrot. This bloke had a parrot, and he put it in the freezer. Not surprisingly, it croaked. Very funny.
So, impressionist, are you secretly pleased when some eminent person that you can do is in the week's news when you're on the
quiz? I was rather hoping. I saw this headline. It said Mladic to face Hague. Mm. And I thought, well, that's a contest you pay money to see, isn't it? I mean, what's he going to do, wrestle him to the ground in some very strange way? So that's two of my favourite things, puns and William Hague.
Do you know that Jeremy does rather a good William Hague?
Yes, I'm sure he'll do it tonight as well.
It's worrying.
I want to do Jeremy's voice because I think it's very funny. Hello, how are you doing? Hello, Rory, you scruffy old scumbag.
Now, here's a nice thing. Our news quiz listeners come in, honestly, every age, shape and size, and they're to be found strewn all across the globe. We also have many MPs who listen. In fact, for a lot of them, the news quiz coming out of the prison radio is the only way they can keep in touch with current affairs. So, for our final news quiz extra of this series, we thought it'd be nice to share with you some of our favourite recent letters. From Christchurch in New Zealand, here's Tricia Munro, who wrote to us back in February after the city was devastated by earthquakes.
I wrote to you because your programme, the news quiz, was a great source of comfort and amusement, especially that very first night of the quake. You know, our house was shaking and rattling. The ground was rolling. I wrote that email a few days after that terrible quake, and I'm lying on my living room floor in the dark. There are fires burning down in the city. The ground is shaking. The house is groaning. We have no water, no sewage, no power, and there is debris and mess everywhere. It was an astonishing night, totally fearful, but I had this moment of inspiration and out came the iPod. And also it makes a terribly good little torch, if you ever need one. And so here I am trotting downstairs to go to the loo on the front lawn in my gumboots, and I'm using my iPod and you guys are sort of burbling away in the background.
Do you know, that's all I shall think about now when we're broadcasting is you weeing in your gumboots. So you sent us some photographs of your home. I mean, the outside, all the wall has practically fallen down. It's the most astonishing thing.
Yes, it's extraordinary. At the moment, we're just covered in a weatherproof paper and we'll be like that for about 12 months.
Wow. And how are things in Christchurch generally?
We're all surviving very well. Yes, there's great sadness with the inner city cordon. If you can imagine in London, the cordon would run from Haymarket right through Piccadilly, Regent Street, Oxford Street, up to Marble Arch. And that wow. entire area is in complete darkness. It's cordoned off by police and army. Buildings are being demolished. And, of course, if you have a house there or an apartment, you can't go back to it. It's impossible. The inner city of Christchurch is dead, and we're all sort of grieving with that. We've had 7,000 aftershocks, but we're all, you know, getting used to it now.
Now, you mentioned in your email that you sometimes listen to episodes over and over again. Are there any bits that stand out for you? Are there any bits that you think, I can't believe Jeremy Hardy got away with that?
Phil Jupiter. I love when he was complaining about checking in at a flight and how much water you can take on the plane, and he said, I'm standing at the check-in desk going, I'm 90% water. And I remember just thinking when I checked in for flights myself, you know, how ridiculous it does seem.
Is there anything like the news quiz in New Zealand? Do you have any the equivalent?
No, but we do have a TV magazine show called 7 Days, and that's a little bit like Have I Got News For You, but nothing on the radio like you. I lived in London. I adored the news quiz. I still adore and listen to The Archers because I can download that. And that also was a great source of comfort. And Desert Island Disc. So congratulations, Radio 4. You've got, you know, numerous fans all over the world.
And here's Felix from Winchester, who wrote to us a couple of weeks ago.
Dear Sandy Toxvig, my name is Felix Bryce and I am a Year 6 pupil at Western Primary School. I love the news quiz so much that I listen to it every night. You and Jeremy Hardy are a great partnership and are extremely funny. I love the way you can make any joke funnier than it actually is. Please never retire.
Now, you've come up to see the show with your family. I say hello, family.
Hello.
In the background there. What were you most excited about?
When I listen to the show, obviously, I don't see the people's faces who are on the panel. So it's going to be really interesting.
I'm a bit worried, though, Felix, because sometimes it's a bit rude. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're all right, you're cool with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know much about the news? Because it worries me that sometimes the jokes will be about a story that you don't really know.
Well, I know most of the news that's on the news quiz, but sometimes my mum has to explain a bit when we're listening to it.
I have to have it explained to me.
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite bit that you remember if you listen to it?
Well, I really like it when they, like, tease you.
Yeah.
And when you make jokes about being Danish.
They tease me a lot. Yeah. There's been a lot of jokes about Marmite lately.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Yeah. I hope you're not disappointed. That's always a worry, isn't it? If you'd like to get in touch with us, and it's, you know, something sensible, you can email us at news.quiz@bbc.co.uk or write via the address on the Radio 4 website. So that's it for the first series of News Quiz Extra. Stop all the clocks, cut off the telephone, put Andy Hamilton back in his matchbox and...
Sandy, seeing it's the end of the series, you can come into the office.
I don't have to stay in the stationery cupboard.
Oh, no, please, come in. I mean, we need someone to polish Hugh Dennis's throne. Have you got a minute?
Oh, OK, well, looks like I'm off to buff the throne. But before we go, here's one last clipping from the archives.
The Archers, Lillian experiences a sense of déjà vu, broadcast yesterday.
The News Quiz Extra was presented by Sandy Toksvig and featured Jeremy Hardy, Fred McCauley, Rory Bremner and Mark Steele. It was written by Benjamin Partridge and the producer was Lindsay Fenner.